here to Superpowered Pop with DT and
EB,
hanging out with you after watching Deadpool. We hope that you enjoyed our Deadpool spoiler-free show that had very special words for you for CNY Pop Festival. Apparently, Deadpool asked the reporter to give some love to CNY Pop Festival as only Deadpool can.
Well, it sounds like Deadpool certainly snuck in a plug there for you, Dan.
I don't know what I did to deserve it, but...
Well, you know, maybe he sees the sarcasm in you and he appreciates that, maybe, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, for something inside me, maybe Ryan Reynolds and I were twins separated at birth.
I don't know. I think you got the good looks.
I did. You're an ugly man, Ryan Reynolds. No, he's not. I love him. He's good stuff. I am more attractive than he is. But with that being said, because we have to be honest on this show, it's a paramount piece of what we do, we're here today to discuss with you Deadpool, now that we have seen the movie, Deadpool number 2. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But as we always do on Superpowered Pop with DT and
EB,
we are going to bring you rapid fire first. That's where we don't know what we're going to ask each other. I ask 5 questions on the spot to Eric. He throws 5 my way. We have no idea what the other person's going to say. We have to answer on the spot. It's a long-standing segment that I've done with Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, and we're happy to bring it to you here. And at the beginning of every show, we'll take a break for some breaking news. We'll come back. We'll give you the Deadpool 2 conversation that you're looking for. Spoilers will be ahead, so if you haven't seen the movie yet, we suggest that you download this episode now and save it in your pocket for later on superpoweredpop.com, superpoweredpop.podbean.com. You can also look us up on iTunes. And then in the final segment of the show, we'll have For Your Amusement, where we will talk about our experience of the Star Wars virtual reality experience. So we'll get into that. The Void, brought to you by The Void. So we'll discuss that, and we'll have a little bit of Han Solo in there somewhere.
Yeah,
so
we'll mix in some Solo talk, too, because I had the pleasure of seeing it, and unfortunately,
I had the pleasure
Mr. DT here
had the pleasure of being,
was a little too busy in Disney World to see it. So
Eric had the pleasure of seeing the movie by himself. Did you? No, you
no
didn't see it by yourself.
I went with my uncle. Me and my uncle went, yeah.
And I had the pleasure of being with my amazingly wonderful wife.
I did not have the pleasure of seeing Solo. I had the pleasure of going with some family. So
I told you that you have to see it by yourself.
Well,
I think everybody should see Solo.
Hey, you know,
why can't we band together?
Well,
everybody,
why
see
don't
it
you
alone.
Start the trend then?
Everyone see it solo.
Why don't
I will,
you start
Kate
the trend.
Has no desire to see it.
Tara didn't want to see it either. I was surprised that she wanted to see it, but I don't know. It is what it is. Deadpool, too. She didn't want to see Deadpool. I was kind of baffled.
That's because
she really enjoyed... I got the impression she enjoyed the first Deadpool. I'm not going to say really enjoyed it. I'm trying to think.
Kate
like
liked it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I think Tara was like about a 6.5.
On a scale from 1 to Tara didn't think she'd like it at all, she liked it somewhat.
Yeah.
There you go. So with that being said, let's jump into rapid fire. I'm going to ask you the first question because I feel like it.
Okay.
So with that being said, if you could be any animal in the world, what would you be and why?
Good one.
Thank you. And it has nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
I don't know. I think an elephant's pretty cool.
Okay.
That's my elephant noise.
That's how an elephant sounds?
I don't know how an elephant
like
sounds.
Like a cat that just got hit by a car. It's supposed to be like that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, again, your impressions are much stronger than mine are.
I just...
You have a lot more practice.
I go back in time and I picture you as a 5-year-old and you're like sitting there and they're doing like playtime and the teacher's like, Eric, what does an elephant sound like?
More like Chewbacca than
yeah. What does an elephant sound like?
I don't think it's what an elephant sounds like.
It's all good. So what's your question for me? I said why? What'd you say? Because they're cool? Did you have another reason? Dumbo? Dumbo's amazing.
Not necessarily because of Dumbo.
I love Dumbo.
I don't know. I just think elephants are pretty sweet animals. They're huge. They're massive. You know what I mean? And I guess...
The H is very different.
Sorry. I'm a human, Dan. Forgive me.
You're a human, and it's huge. That's like Fusillos.
Yeah,
though.
Huge. Yeah. Huge, Billy.
Yeah, how is it? It's huge. Yeah, you got that down. So, okay, so they're huge.
Short of, like, humans, I mean, what other predators do... you love that, don't you?
You know.
I had to use that again.
I know.
What other predators do the elephants have?
Does an elephant have?
Yeah.
Well, it's very big.
Yeah, obviously.
It's hard to have a predator.
Yeah, exactly. So there's
The Predator might be a predator.
The Predator?
Okay. The Predator. What is that? The new movie coming out is called The Predator.
I'm not sure.
Before was Predator. Then the one years ago was Predator. Then Predator 2. And the Predators. I don't even know. It's like they're just saying the same word a different way. Like you could say a predator. I think that they should scare everyone and just... I'm not going to go. Anyway, go ahead. I'm not going to do it.
Okay, well, I'm just going to play off that as well. What animal would you be?
I have two choices. I'm going to pick two.
Okay.
I would be a jaguar because I have always had a connection since I was a little kid with just the notion of that. I mean, the team being named after that. They're really fast animals. I like the car. So I would say jaguar. And then the one that if God said you have to choose, I would 100% be a dog because they're fun-loving. And if I got cared for the way that I try to care for the dogs I've had in my life, I'd have a really happy life. So, you know,
fair enough.
Man and woman's best friend.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Fair enough. Okay.
If we could make a bobblehead of you that could talk, what would it say?
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. That would be perfect. We could probably add that in as a secondary sound.
I can say, I'm only human.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it would say. I'm only human. But I'd have to say it like every word that Dan likes to poke fun at in terms
H-U's.
Of how I say it. It's my H-U's?
It's your H-U's. But I say IRE words weird.
Okay.
I'm told that I have a Syracuse accent. I say fire, which to me sounds like fire. But then people go fire when they hear me say it. They always say that it's like a growl. Because they're supposed to say fire, which I think is way too long.
Maybe I say it is what it is.
You better walk out of here. Better take a walk.
Anybody that doesn't know that.
It is what
tune
it
in
is.
A wake-up call.
Yeah, it is what it is, but it will be what you make of it. And that, you can actually see it on Wake Up Call's videos as well. So, okay, what's your question for me?
Let's see here. Let's go back to Deadpool.
Okay.
If Deadpool could pick any DC character other than the Green Lantern to team up with, who do you think he'd want to team up with?
Deadpool?
Mm-hmm. Any DC character.
I feel like he'd team up with...
And it's a character. It doesn't have to be a good guy.
Right. I feel like he would team up with Batman just so he could razz him, because I feel like he'd really get under Batman's skin. And I'm going to pick another one. I think that he would love Robin for the same reason. He'd probably make a ton of jokes about it.
Did you ever see... Or have you ever seen any of
the
super-powered beatdown episodes?
Yeah, I've seen those.
Okay, so Deadpool and Batman, I think, face off in one of them. It was
probably,
pretty,
yeah.
It was pretty awesome. Giving them a plug. But
I saw the Green Ranger and Scorpion.
That one was good as well.
I know, because the Green Ranger one.
Absolutely.
Spoiler alert, it's been out for years.
So. Yeah, sorry, guys.
My question for you is if you could go back in time and had the ability, like Cable, to go to all different periods and go wherever you wanted to go, what would you go back in time and change in your life?
In my life?
Yes.
Well, let's assume in my life I was a mutant.
I would change my name to Zazie Beetz.
Did you go back and just, like, doctor your birth certificate at that point?
I like my name. My name is very, very sexy.
Whatever you say, Zazie.
That's right. Thank you. Dan Tortora. Very sexy.
Who's Dan Tortora?
It's me.
I thought this was ZB and EB.
ZB and EB? I like Zazzy. I like Domino, too. That was my dog Shady's middle name.
Let's see here.
What would you go back and change?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to think.
Yo, pants? No, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Keep throwing random things at you.
I don't know.
You could change anything in your life.
I'm trying to think. I'm sure there's something that I could change, but
to be human again.
Sorry. Maybe I would take some more English classes just to to round off my
I love it. It makes you who you are.
My accent here.
It makes you human.
For Dan. Just so I can avoid embarrassment.
It's not embarrassing. I think it's awesome.
I'm not embarrassed. It's just
Tara married you.
It's coming from you.
Tara married you because you're human.
That's right. I'm a human.
You're a human and she loves you for being the human that you are.
I don't know. If I went back in time, I'd tell myself to take more Disney trips. How's that sound?
I love that.
Okay.
All right. What's your question for me? This is number three for you.
Number three.
Question number three. We'll go to the audience
now. How about who would win in a fight?
Me.
Deadpool or the Green Ranger?
Deadpool.
Okay.
I love the Green Ranger, but whatever.
Okay.
Deadpool. Who would win in a fight? I gotta think about this. Who would win in a fight? Stay Puffed.
Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, okay.
Or Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, you kidding me? I feel like Stay Puffed will win.
Awesome.
That's a no-brainer.
I like that.
He'd step right on him and it'd be done. Jabba can barely move. He's slow.
Yeah.
He'd step on Jabba's palace.
Jabba's like the largest known pimp in the universe.
Yes, yes.
He's a gluttonous pimp. I think that was the write-up. George Lucas wrote Jabba the Hutt, gluttonous pimp.
Okay.
That was his description.
I'm sure if you went back and looked at the original script, I'm sure that had
gluttonous
that
pimp
in italic font right next to Jabba's name.
It makes sense.
Well, it does make perfect sense, but yeah. Something leads me to believe
Jabba that the Hutt was so gross.
It's disgusting.
I know that people like Jabba the Hutt, but I find that terrifying. But that's okay if you do.
Doesn't bother me.
I like Star Wars in general, but I like BB-8.
Yeah. So. Yep.
He's my dude for life. Okay. What's your fourth one?
Okay. I know there's going to be more Deadpool movies coming out, or at least he's going to have appearances in some of the X-Men movies necessarily. Was it X-Force? But let's assume he does another mashup movie. Other than Wolverine or Rocket Raccoon, who would you want to see Deadpool do a movie with if they were to do like a mashup movie?
Thanos?
Mm-hmm. Do we bring Josh in for the
to
play Thanos again?
Yeah, okay. And then he can call him Cable in that movie. That would be awesome. My fifth and final rapid-fire question for you is, what ride is not currently at Walt Disney World that you would love for them to do?
I feel like Stitch needs to get reworked. That's like they need to give Stitch a little bit more love.
I think they need to bring Alien Encounter back. I never went on it because I was terrified.
Yeah, the Alien... Well, first and foremost...
But I wanted to try to go on it.
If you're a kid and you go on the Stitch ride, it could be terrifying for you.
Well, he burps corn dogs.
Yeah, but, I mean, as a kid, you're kind of like...
Chili dog.
If you're not familiar with Stitch...
Yeah.
It could be terrifying.
Welcome to Stitch Kingdom!
Yeah. But yeah, as Alien and the way that they had that set up originally, which I didn't actually experience myself, but I could tell you right now, have experienced the Stitch, what do they call it?
Great Escape or something.
Great Escape, yeah. Having experienced that attraction, if they flipped it all back to Alien, I probably wouldn't want to go on it.
It doesn't scream Disney, nor does it scream you can see the castle from here.
No, not at all. So. Not at all.
It's like, hey, you can see the castle from here, but you're going to die before you get to it.
I know you're not into terrifying stuff, and even though I'm a huge Ghostbuster fan, and I don't mind scary movies,
yeah,
I don't like haunted houses or getting, you know, the crap scared out of me.
I don't like alien stuff. I don't like paying people money to
even
scare
alien
me.
Stuff is kind of like, yeah, I've got a problem with it, too.
Here's $100. Go ahead and make me pee myself.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like the... Was it the Halloween Horror Nights in Universal Studios? Like,
no.
I have no interest whatsoever.
Nope.
No interest.
No, I was dating a girl at the time. She was like, you gotta go. And I was like, no. And she's like, I go like 3 times. I was like, great, have fun. So she went the first time, and then she went again. And then she's like, will you please go me? I'll love you forever. We dated for like, I don't even know, maybe 2 months. So that shows you how committed she was. But she's a nice person. Just caught her at a bad time, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
The opposite of serendipity, not serendipity. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, you gotta come. And I was like, I'm not doing it. She's like, but there's a Child's Play house with Chucky. And she's describing the house, and she's like, there's this room with like a bunch of different Chuckies, and they're huge and they're small. And there's a person that looks like Chucky, and they jump out and they chase you. And I was like, you know for a fact that I don't do ventriloquist stuff, dummy stuff, little baby looking real stuff. So I was like, there was 8% of me that was considering going. Now 100% of me is not going. Like, why would you tell me there's Child's Play there? That's something that you don't tell me until I get there. and I've already paid.
And then you crap your pants, and then...
And then I don't go.
You never go back.
Right. We break up immediately.
Yep.
What's your final question for me?
Let's think here.
She is a nice person, though. I'll say that.
If there was... I want to do two more questions. Can I get a bonus question?
Sure.
Because I got two in my head right now.
Okay, do it.
Going off of what you just said.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If there was one ride that you can trick your mom to go on.
Expedition Everest. Thank you.
And how would... Yeah, that was a quick answer. Thanks. How would she... So this isn't a second question. This is just playing off of that. How would she react if you took her on that?
She'd punch me in the arm. She'd tell me she's going to pass out and she'd probably swear at me. But all in a playful way, because my mom's a super great human being. So
human.
She's a great person.
She's a great human.
She's a great, great lady. No, my mom's awesome, but she would threaten to murder me while we were on the ride, yes. We will be back after this breaking news announcement, which I feel like has something to do with the Jersey Shore, ironically.
Highly possible, yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to figure out what it is. We always know that they give us that great news, never fake.
Yep.
Always real. So we'll take a step aside, hear what they have to say. We'll be back in a moment with the conversation on Deadpool 2 and Han Solo.
Welcome here to Breaking News! We interrupt this broadcast of Super Powered Pop with DT and EB to speak with the Hulk. That's right, the Hulk is back. Hulk, how you doing today?
Hulk hungry. Why you no feed, Hulk? Why I sit here, why I do show, and I don't eat any food?
Well, Hulk, you didn't tell us you wanted anything. Here you are. Here's a muffin.
Oh, Hulk like muffin. Okay, what interview about now? Now Hulk happy. Hulk crunchy. Very good. Yum, yum.
Well, Hulk, we just want to know what you think about this Fox and Disney merger. What do you think about bringing Deadpool into the fray? What do you think about that, Hulk?
Who, Deadpool? I don't know anything about Deadpool. Only that Hulk throw bunch of bad guy into giant open hole. We call that Deadpool as well.
Well, Hulk, that's a little bit dark, don't you think?
Hulk not dark. Hulk light, Hulk tell truth. Gamma radiation, come into my body. I Bruce Banner, now I Hulk. I blow things up when I feel like it. Thank you very much. Goodbye. I take Muffin with me. Have a great day. Hulk, Hulk. Thank you.
Folks, you never know what you're going to get when the Hulk comes into the room. We're going to try and get him back later on in this broadcast so that we can bring him back for breaking news and try and get some more information out of the Hulk.
How I get out of here? Would I trap? What is this, some type of maze?
Welcome back here to Super Powered Pop with DT and
EB.
And I have to ask the question here on superpoweredpop.com, superpoweredpop.podbean.com. Definitely make sure that you're checking us out and listening in to our shows. We do things for you weekly, and we make it happen. We have a nice plethora of shows where we talk about a lot of different things, from Thanos to Deadpool to Star Wars to Walking Dead to Disney rides to so much more. We always have rapid fire in the beginning for your amusement at the end, and right in the middle, the body of the show, every single show, is different. And this one, we're going to start with Deadpool 2 and our thoughts on it. So again, if you haven't seen it, we suggest that you download this episode, save it to your device, and listen after you saw it. I'm going to do this wonderful nice thing where I'm going to count down, and after you are listening still, if you haven't seen the movie, you cannot get mad that we didn't warn you about spoilers. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, numero uno. From here on out, we're going to talk about Deadpool 2. If you don't want spoilers, save the show. Listen after you watch it.
Solo dies in Solo, just so you know. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was like, what can they even... I mean, they're going to kill off characters that we didn't even know existed.
Right.
Because this is a origin or whatever story. So, you know, that's what I said. I said to Eric before he went and saw it, I said, spoiler alert, everybody lives. Everybody of any importance lives. So, well, that we know of from the Star Wars lore.
Absolutely. It was a really well done movie. I know we want to spend the majority of our time here talking about Deadpool, but
is Darth Maul in it?
But do you really want me to talk about
it? No, I don't.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Here's what I'll tell you. I want to give my reaction.
I want you to talk about it, but I don't.
I'm going to give my honest reaction without any spoilers. Okay. And in summary, I feel like Solo was incredibly well done.
Okay.
I feel like amongst all the prequels, it was one of the more well done prequel movies, if not the best well done movie. What are you smirking for?
because Rogue One. There's like a TV show or some character that's... I was just thinking about the movies.
Okay.
And they were like, oh no, I'm sorry. It was Austin Powers where he was like, oh no, they've gone rogue. Oh, yeah. I just thought about that. So, you know, that's all. Okay. That's all. No, but Rogue One...
Are you good now?
Yeah, good. I'm good. I fell asleep during Rogue One. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I felt like it was an hour and a half leading up to 10 minutes where there was stuff going on.
For me, if I had to go and rank the prequels in order,
yeah,
I'd have to say I think Solo, even though it had a soft opening, I feel like that was the strongest one of all the prequels. I'd probably go Solo, probably go Clone Wars, Rogue One, and then Revenge of the Sith, then Phantom Menace.
Oh, okay.
In my opinion.
You mean, so Attack of the Clones, so all those... So Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, Phantom Menace, you put those all after.
Correct.
Okay. Well, no, you liked Attack of the Clones.
So again, Solo would be my first.
Yeah.
Attack of the Clones would be my second favorite.
Now, are you including...
I'm just ranking the prequels. Yeah.
The CG one? The one that was separate from...
Oh, you're talking about the television series?
Yeah, the actual... Yeah, like
I've caught bits and pieces of the animated series there.
Okay.
If that's what you're referring to.
Some people swear by it.
Yeah, I believe it's considered canon.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. I thought
Darth Maul, his story gets like... Darth Maul's story gets told within the universe of, like, outside of live action, animated...
Yeah, he doesn't actually die in Phantom Menace, if I understand.
Yeah, right. He gets, like, spider legs, and... I was actually reading his story last night, and there's like an extensively long story of conquests of his and just being a ruthless dictator, like taking over everything. And I'm scrolling down and I was reading this thing for like a good 15 minutes. And then it said, Han Solo spoilers, don't read anymore if you don't. And I was like, is he in Han Solo? And then I didn't read it. Cause I don't like to ruin it for myself, but Darth Maul, for anybody that knows me, Darth Maul was like one of my... He was probably my favorite villain of Star Wars ever.
So I can correct
myself. And I got to meet the guy that played him. So.
Just so I can correct myself and don't get yelled at by any diehard Star Wars fans, I kept saying Clone Wars.
Yeah.
I was referring to Attack of the Clones, of course.
Yeah, so, that's what I said. So. I figured
Did you correct me? Okay.
I did. You're okay.
I just wanted to be sure. I don't want to, you know, misquote a movie title.
Clone Wars, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith.
Very close. Yeah, I had everything else. It was good.
Star Wars, Am I Your Father? That one.
Yeah, that's a great title.
It's a phenomenal title.
It's too bad that wasn't the actual title of the movie.
It was not a title of the movie. Star Wars, Who's My Dad? So, that didn't happen. Could have happened. Didn't. Darth Maul, the father of Rey.
Yep.
Pretty amazing we found that out.
Yep.
I love that people are sitting here like, what?
They're losing their minds.
They're like, really? They're checking everything. Yeah. I will find it. Yeah, no, that's not the truth yet.
Yet.
We don't know that to be, you know.
It's going to be interesting to find out where her origins actually...
I still think that Luke Skywalker is her father. I still think that. There's too many parallels, and I read something about the whole fact of, you know, this was his ultimate way of protecting her, because he never thought she would find him, and then she found him, and this was her way, this was his way of always protecting her by being like, okay, well, now you found me, but I'm still not what you're looking for.
Well,
I think that's her father.
How about with Obi-Wan? There being plausibility there.
Yeah, could be.
And it's kind of reverse roles where Luke is now, you know, basically trained her. And Luke is the Obi-Wan of this series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Could be.
Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of possibilities.
Yoda, her father?
I see the resemblance a little bit.
I do too. Stronger this one, the Force is. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Pretty cool. I just want to see more Yoda. I love Yoda.
All I can say is if that's the case, Yoda's got really good genes.
Levi?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. What is Brett Favre wear? A sports reference on an entertainment show? Blasphemy. No, but I think he wears Lee dungarees.
Are they the dungarees?
Yeah.
I remember he'd always do the commercials there.
Yep, dungarees and Crocs.
Crocs? Crocs was his thing too?
When,
I missed that.
When he texted Jenny.
Jenny?
You remember that? Jenny.
No. I'm thinking of Forrest Gump now.
Oh, no. No, this is Brett Favre being a creepy person.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
He's a scary dude.
Back to Deadpool 2 kind of
like
now.
Darth Maul.
Let's switch this back.
Who would win, Darth Maul or Deadpool?
I feel like Deadpool would probably pull it out.
Yeah, I like Darth Maul, though.
I do like Darth Maul.
I feel like they should work together.
I feel like they could easily do a Darth Maul movie.
I know.
And I think...
Can I give a sexual joke that if there was a Deadpool-Darth Maul movie, what Deadpool would say the first moment he met Darth Maul?
Go for it.
He would be like, "Why are you so horny?"
That's too much.
I mean, he would.
Well, I mean, obviously that's perfect for Deadpool.
He wears a lot of horns.
I don't think he wears the horns.
Though. Well, they've grown on him.
Yeah. Do you think that they literally have grown on him? Like, do you think he's getting used to them?
Yeah, they've grown on him.
We're just rolling with a play on words here.
They've grown on him.
He's feeling horny.
He's very horny. Rhinos are horny, too.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
All right.
I don't know what I'm saying that's wrong. They have horns.
Well, rhinos having horns, rhinos ramming things. Let's transition to the Juggernaut.
Okay.
And the fact we just found out today.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That Ryan Reynolds actually voiced the Juggernaut. I had no clue.
Not the one, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
No.
Like this one. The Juggernaut.
Yeah, and it sounded great. And just another reason why Ryan Reynolds is like significantly helping the X-Men franchise.
Yeah.
Like
the Juggernaut's massive in this too.
Yeah.
And he's CG'd, so they actually make him the size of Venom times 3 probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's a big, I want to say he's, well, I don't know, like 10, 12 feet tall.
He makes Colossus look like a little baby.
Yeah, he's probably like a metric ton at least.
I don't know.
He's got that huge metal thing on his head.
I didn't see him step on a scale.
I didn't see him step on the scale either. It was good, though.
It was fantastic.
It was in that, because they kept talking about there's a monster. It's kind of like there's a monster in the basement. Like, there's a monster in this jail. There's a monster in this jail. There's a monster in this jail. And we don't see it. It's the buildup. And I was like, who are they going to introduce? And is anybody going to know who they are? And the way that they did it, I was like, we gotta at least have an inkling if you are a fan of the X-Men. And when the Juggernaut came out,
I was like, damn.
My jaw hit the floor on that one.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Especially since, you know, Fox doesn't like to put a lot of characters in these Deadpool movies, as Deadpool says.
Right.
You know? So, and there was also that cool thing where he was like, why is there never anybody in the house except for you guys at the X-Mansion? And while he's saying it, he's got his head turned away, and there's a door, and all of the X-Men are having a meeting with, like, Beast Professor X and all that, and Beast shuts the door.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool, too.
That was very well done. And, you know, it's just the little things like that. These little things they throw in there.
I wonder how much they got paid for that. $1 million to shut the door?
For all we know, that could have been a scene recorded from one of the other movies that
they
just
popped
in. You
still get money, though, because you're
technically in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Royalties.
It's true.
Yep.
That's true.
A cool mill, maybe. If you're Jennifer Lawrence.
Probably.
Thousands. Thousands upon thousands of dollars she got for that, I'm sure.
Millions of dollars.
Millions. So it's... So yeah, so Deadpool had some nice surprises like the Juggernaut. We were very surprised, as Eric said, that Ryan Reynolds is the voice of the Juggernaut. I don't like that it's on IMDb, because now everybody knows that the Juggernaut's in this movie. If you do it a lot of... of you fans do, these comic book movie fans, which is you check IMDb to try and figure out all these Easter eggs, and you try to understand kind of everything that is going on. You try to make these healthy predictions. So I'm not really happy about that was in there. But I will say that I thought that Josh Brolin did a good job. You know, it's crazy. I never thought that I really had like a lot of weight with Cable, but I feel like it could have been better. I'm not trying to say Josh Brolin didn't do a good job, but I didn't realize how much I expect of Cable. Just the look, even. Like, so, I don't feel like he looked as good as Cable did in the comics.
So, short of, you know, Josh Brolin playing... I know last episode I talked about...
Thank God, you know, Josh Brolin's not Spectrum Cable.
Yeah.
Or else he would only work half the time.
Crashing all the time.
Hold on, I'm not on the internet. I can't go to that place right now.
Short of him playing Thanos, short of the Goonies, I'm not familiar with a lot of his work.
Yeah.
I think he did a good job as Cable. I didn't picture Cable looking like that, though. That's the only thing. Like, the acting, the way he sounded, how he came across, all was very well done. But I don't know if I necessarily agreed with the look of Cable.
No, I mean, Cable, he's kind of like all white-haired. He's a really big dude, you know, and it's not that Josh like wasn't big for the role. But I don't know. It's like, I mean, I thought the arm could have looked better. I thought that, I don't know. I thought all in all, Cable could have looked the part a little bit better. Could have been a little more of that like jerk that's a leader. But he's like a grizzled leader. And there was a guy that they had said, you know, there was a bunch of fans were clamoring for this one guy.
The guy from Avatar?
Yep.
Yep.
And so they were clamoring for this guy to play the role. And he had, like, taken pictures and said, you know, like, how do I look and whatnot. And the person that we're speaking about here is Stephen Lang, who played Colonel Miles Quaritch from Avatar. And he was somebody that I thought could have pulled it off for how he looked. And he would have to get big, but he looks like Cable from the comic books.
He looks a lot closer. Even if he grew his hair out a little bit more. Yeah. I always remembered Cable to have that little bit like straggly hair. He definitely, when you saw the pictures of him with the scar on his face from Avatar.
Yeah.
I almost felt like, damn, I was looking at Cable. Like the whole time I was looking at him in the movie, I had that thought.
Yeah.
He could play Cable.
And I felt, I really felt, because then he got behind it. He was like, I want to, you know, I want to do this. So when he got behind it too, then it's like you get more excited because, you know, he's feeling it and he wants the opportunity and whatnot. So, like I said, I'm not trying to take anything away from Josh Brolin. I just felt like the look could have been better. The feel of it could have been better. And, you know, that I kind of had to, like, look past some things with Cable, because he's not how I pictured him in the comic books.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that, but the Juggernaut, I never thought it would be the Juggernaut in the movie. I never thought that Ryan Reynolds would voice the Juggernaut. I never thought that the Juggernaut would be CG. I thought it was great. I liked that the Juggernaut made jokes, and I liked that the Juggernaut said something about his brother when they were talking about family and whatnot. He made a comment when he was going with Firefist back into that like school where they were supposed to protect the mutants, but they were hurting kids. Kind of looked like, it almost looked like a foster home that was abusing children.
Right.
And it had that feel to it. Like, would that be fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and when the Juggernaut made a comment about his brother is Professor X. So I thought that was kind of cool. There was a lot of connections. I will say though, I said going into this movie, I hope that they show more of Wade Wilson's love and his connection, and that as much as he jokes around that his girlfriend means the world to him.
Right.
And they did that to the nth degree, and I will tell you that I was drastically surprised of how much of a love story there was.
So the thing about this movie that, and again, this is another reason why Deadpool is kind of in a league of its own.
Yeah.
It obviously, Deadpool 1 and 2, neither one of them are a Avengers style save the world kind of plot line. They still are able to maintain a seriously highly emotional plot line.
Yeah.
While balancing the humor and the violence and everything that's gone into these films extremely well. And just being that this was such a serious movie but was so funny, I mean, again, it just solidifies how awesome this franchise is.
Deadpool says at the beginning of the movie, he says, "This is a love story. Yep. I die in the end."
Yep.
And it was a love story.
Don't you love the James Bond intro?
And he died in the end, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was great. But the thing, what I love about both Deadpool 1 and Deadpool 2 is that in the intro where you're supposed to be seeing all the names of the director and this and that, they have like little quips and it doesn't say directed by. It's like this douche did this and this guy. And I really, really like that you have to pay attention to the things you never pay attention to, which are like the intro titles.
Right.
And I don't know, I just find it really, everything around it, like with this show, breaking news is different. Like how we go about things are different. I've done impressions my whole life, so that's something that's different on the show. In the same respect of Deadpool, it's like the credits are different, the intro is different, the names are different, the way he describes things are different. He literally tells you in the movie,
the breaking it's a love the four story. Wall, fourth wall is different.
Right, yeah. And he tells you in the movie, this is a love story where I die in the end.
Yep.
And it happened, and it's almost like, it's like, well, Deadpool, how'd you ruin that? He's like, I told you it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But you still watched.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when somebody tells you the punchline. And then Dave Chappelle did this. He goes, I'm going to tell you the punchline, and then I'm going to tell you the joke. And he like went backward and went 20 minutes in this conversation and then said it. And he goes, I told you the punchline. And he's like, I still got you. He goes, because I'm that good. And that's kind of what I felt about Deadpool. Right. Is like, I'm going to tell you the biggest things that are going to happen, but you're still going to watch it.
He literally spoiled the movie for everybody.
He did. And he was the spoiler.
Was able to still maintain everybody's intention throughout the entire film.
Yeah, which I think is...
Which speaks volumes.
Insane.
Of his ability to act and keep everybody intrigued and the way this movie was written, even though he constantly joked about how it was lazy writing.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Well, you didn't like... His whole thing, his whole like quip and part of who he is, and Spider-Man to a certain extent... is breaking the fourth wall, because it's like, who's Spider-Man talking to in the comics?
Yep.
You thought that he broke the fourth wall too much.
I feel like by the end of the movie, it got to be a little too much.
Well, I mean, that he was like, this is lazy writing, this is lazy writing, this is lazy writing.
Like, I feel like anything that had to do with writing, he could have removed those lines out, and then it would have been a nice, like...
Right.
I mean, I'm probably being overly critical. I mean, it was still funny. It wasn't like I didn't laugh at those lines, you know what I mean? But...
Yeah.
I just feel like it could have been a little bit less. That's just me being overly critical, though.
The baby hand in the first one, the baby feet in the second one. Where they're like, oh, he's going to do it.
The best is he gets off and he walks off the...
Yeah, and he starts to walk and they're like, come here, little guy. That was good. That was really good. So, I mean, I would say the Juggernaut, the fact that Ryan Reynolds voiced the Juggernaut, those were big things for me. I thought the action was good. Did you feel the way that I... Because we saw it together opening night. I felt like the movie was slow in the beginning and that they like 10 minutes in almost lost me a little bit.
Initially it was a little bit slow getting going. Honestly, I don't think it really picked up till when they got to the prison. That's kind of when it started jumping back
in. You have Ecto Cooler in here?
I have several things of Ecto Cooler in here, yeah.
Are those like from 1980?
No, those are from like 2016.
Can you drink them?
I wouldn't drink those ones because they're probably expired.
Okay.
But I do have I do have some that are frozen if you're interested.
Yeah, I am very interested.
All right, we'll have to thaw that out for a future...
Ecto Cooler.
Future...
I love Ecto Cooler.
Well, maybe we can do another episode about Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters Day, and we'll cheers to some Ecto Cooler.
We can do that. So. We can do... We got to do some Ecto Cooler. I forgot about
it. I'm sure Ecto-Cooler that's actually probably fine.
Yeah.
Because it was frozen for a while. Because I opened another pack of it.
You know, I forgot about Ecto Cooler until it was put in front of me again, and I was like, I used to drink this all the time after school.
Yeah.
Like, in my head, I'm like, what is Ecto Cooler? And then, before you and I met, one of the first things you ever wrote to me on social media is you said, "Hey guys, I heard the show. I got some Ecto Cooler. I'd bring it over to you guys."
Yeah.
And then I was like, "What is he talking about?" And then I was like, "Oh my god, my mom used to buy that for me." Yeah. So yeah, I love
it. It was packaged a lot better in the '90s though, because it had Slimer on it.
Everything was better in the '90s.
Everything was better, but it's still packaging aside, still maintains that awesome taste of nostalgia.
So. And we still don't know exactly what it tastes like.
Tangerine.
Yeah, like I wanted to say tangerine, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was one of my favorites. Definitely.
It tastes like Deadpool frolicking in a pasture with an elephant. That's what it tastes
My favorite animal.
Your favorite.
The animal that I want to be.
The animal an elephant. That Eric wants to be. So, no, but the movie was good. There was a lot of good things to it. I thought Firefist was cool. I thought it was interesting. This whole dynamic of we have to save him, but you also want to save Deadpool's family. And, you know, I kept thinking through this whole movie, is Deadpool, I mean, he's trying to write history and he's trying to make things okay. And it really, there really was a lot of love in this movie. And there was that part where, you know, Deadpool looks at Cable's, the teddy bear on Cable's belt. It's all like ashy and dirty. And he looks at it, and that bear, like, lightens up, and it's clean, and he goes, he's like, look, I did it, you know, like, and I thought that that was heartwarming.
Well, what's cool is it maintained that idea or premise is kind of just be kind to your neighbor kind of premise, you know what I mean? Because nobody knows, you know, the person next to them, you know, everything going on in their life, you know what I mean? A lot of people tend to jump to conclusions and automatically assume or speculate, you know, what people are thinking or what's going on in their lives around them. Oh. And the thing about this movie is it kind of had this snuck in a sense, like, don't judge a book by its cover, you know, kind of be kind to your neighbor,
you know. Don't make an A out of you and me.
Exactly.
Which is assume. That's what my dad always told me.
Yeah.
You know, like 90-some-odd% of fights are because someone or both people have assumed something.
Exactly.
You know, And that's the thing is, you know, at the heart of this Deadpool movie was a loving, caring boyfriend, loving, caring friend, a loving, caring warrior. And I don't think people that, you know, expected that, but that's what you got. You know, some people might go, oh, you know, it's too mushy. Oh, it's too this and that. You know, there's some whack jobs that you know, I've spoken with in my past that say, like, they don't like that a hero is ever attached to anything because it wastes time in the TV show or the movie. And the fact of the matter is, if you're not attached to anything, how are you a true hero?
Right.
Because you can't love saving. You can't want to save others if you don't try to save yourself. If you don't, you know, if you don't have something to care about back at home, it's really hard to. I mean, my ideals, my values, what makes me who I am is how I broadcast. It's how I say what I say, how I do what I do, how I joke about things, how...
What and who gets you up out of bed every morning.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, Deadpool kind of shocked me, but in the best of ways, in the sense of he shocked me in acting a lot like I would and I do with the person that I love. And at the same time, you know, staying human, staying caring.
Human.
But, you know, staying in this realm of care and concern for, you know, people outside of yourself and doing the right thing. You know, people forget that just because Deadpool swears and just because he's got all this humor in this and these things that he does, he essentially is taking a horrific situation that happened to him in his life and he's the comic relief for himself.
Right.
And if he's the comic relief for you, fine. But for him, he's the comic relief for himself. And, you know, when we see him go through this cancer that immediately when his powers go away, he immediately is rapidly dying. You know, it's very sad and you know, it hits home. It's tragic. And you just look at him like his powers are his lifeline. Like his superpowers are his IV. They're his you know,
security blanket.
They're his everything. They're his, you know, they're his, you know, the shocking pal. You know, they're the things that bring him back to life. So, you know, without his powers, he doesn't get to live, and so he's bonded to these forever. And it's like you get all these amazing powers, but there's a catch. You know, nothing in life is foolproof, and so the catch of having his powers and not dying of cancer is not being able to look the way that he used to, and all of that, and the fact that he needs his powers to stay alive.
He's experiencing pain in a different way.
Right. And so, you know, and the thing is, the fact that, you know, and I want to give credit to his co-host and his love, Marina Baccarin, who plays Vanessa. You know, I really love their relationship. I love that she is just as dirty as he is, if not worse. You know, she has that humor. And, you know, she is his opposite. You know, they said that finding your soulmate is finding your counterpoint in another, or something like that, that you're finding your equal. And he found that in Vanessa. And I was wondering, I'm like, with all the stuff that he's trying to do and helping out Cable Son and trying to protect Fire Fist and not turn him into the villain that he was supposed to be, with all these things going on that had very much the Days of Future Past feel to it, I was like, well, if he has the power to do all this stuff, isn't he going to go back and save Vanessa? And we find out when you stay during the credits that he does.
Yep.
He saves Vanessa. And honestly, that was the only thing that mattered to me, because when I watch movies, I always think of my wife. And what would I do? And as long I would save my wife at all costs, and if it disrupted the world, then I would spend the rest of my life trying to right the world, but I would go back and save her.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't right the world and just let... I don't know. I mean, unless she... I don't know. I would do anything to save her. Even if she told me not to, I feel like I still would. So
that's the... those are the words of a true hero, Dan.
A hopeless romantic is what it is. And speaking of hopeless romantic, nothing is more hopeless than being solo. So, with that being said, Hope Solo. How about that? She played Thacker.
Hope Solo.
Do you like it? And I don't know what I did there, but I think it was masterful. I think that Albert Einstein would look at me and...
You're a genius, Dan.
He would call me a Rhodes Scholar. So, we're going to talk about Han Solo. You could talk about... Well, this is what we're going to talk about. Have we been over Star Wars? Are we being over Star Wars? Is it too much at this point?
It is overwhelming. I mean, I personally love Star Wars, like probably most.
Above Ghostbusters?
No.
Okay, good.
No, absolutely not.
I'm saying good, well, because I mean, here's the thing. This studio is canvassed with the Ghostbusters.
Yes, but and I do have some Star Wars stuff.
You have some really nice Star Wars stuff.
Star Wars is probably my number two in terms of franchises.
Mine is.
I'd have to say
Pooh's Heffalump movie.
Avengers. Jeez. Nice. Trying to be serious here for a second. I mean, it probably go Ghostbusters, then Star Wars, and I think Avengers is sneaked up right behind Star Wars as possibly my number two.
Okay.
Everything that's going on in Marvel, I mean, it's been phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been good. But we're getting a movie every year.
But again, I love these franchises.
Yeah.
I'm fine with them continuing to, you know, put out new content, new movies. The thing about Star Wars and the frequency in which we're getting them, we know all these characters, and obviously, there's newer characters in The Force Awakens and, excuse me, The Last Jedi. So that is cool. Like, the way they've got those spread out, I don't think it's overwhelming, because every 2 years they're putting one out now. So like every other Christmas for the episodes.
Like the episode stuff and all that.
Yeah. What was it?
Is it six?
6, 7, 8, 9
Yeah.
Is that what
the numbers? Trying to make it like every couple of years.
So I mean that, but I think it's fine. Now. But having these prequels snuck in and spacing them out 6 months, you know, prior, you know, having just seen another Star Wars film, I mean, it is a little bit of overload. I think part of the nostalgia and the awesomeness of a new Star Wars movie coming out was that anticipation and that buildup over, you know, a period of time.
Yeah.
And we're not getting that anymore because it's just, it's like there's manufacturing these things and just pumping them out and pumping them out. And I know that's part of Disney, and what Disney does is they just try to capitalize and what have you. And people are going to continue to see these movies. It's not like Solo completely stunk in the box office. It just didn't perform as well as I think people would expect a Star Wars movie to.
Well, and my thing about Star Wars is, you know, I mean, when we look back on the original trilogy, Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Yeah, I know, it's awesome. You and Tara. So, Star Wars A New Hope, release date's 19... Yeah, by the way, the New Hope, the cover, Eric and his wife have themselves as Han Solo and Princess Leia, which is pretty awesome.
That was Hollywood Studios, I think, our honeymoon.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
So, who wore it better? You guys. So,
yes, absolutely.
Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, came out in 1977. 3 years later, The Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980. 3 years later, Return of the Jedi came out in 1983. And then we go back to Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, came out in 1999. Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, came out in 2002. Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, came out in 2005. So, the first trilogy, every 3 years. The second trilogy, every 3 years. To what we have now, which is Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, which came out in 2016. And then in 2018, we had Episode 8. So instead of 3 years in between, it's 2 years in between. And right there, smack dab in the middle of all this is, you know, we have Rogue One coming out. And then we have Han Solo now between Episode 8 and Episode 9.
6 months apart.
Right. It's... So we used to wait 3 years, and then whether you like episodes 1, 2, and 3 or not, that started with The Phantom Menace, that was the 3-year window. This is the George Lucas way and Lucasfilm and all that. And now it's every 2 years instead of every 3 years. And then in the middle of it, there's all this stuff going on. So, okay, you got one in 2015, and then you have Rogue One 2016, 2017, you have Episode 8, and then 2018 you have Han Solo, and then you have Episode 9, and so it's just, we're getting inundated with all this stuff. It's a lot to take in. The episodes are not every 3 years, they're every 2, and that year in the middle of the episodes are these prequels that are being slammed in there, so it's every single year as opposed to waiting 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at December to December to December to December, I mean, we're looking at this thing and saying, if they came out at the same time every year, you were waiting over 1,000 days for the next episode. Now we're waiting 6 months sometimes.
And I think
it's crazy.
I try to look at the Avengers and compare it to Star Wars. I shouldn't say the Avengers, but Marvel.
Yeah. Well, Marvel's every year, but the big team-ups want to call those the episodes,
yeah,
the team-ups are not every year. So.
And that's what I'm saying, but, like, you know, we had Black Panther.
Yeah.
We had Infinity War.
Yeah. Well, Black Panther was still in theaters.
Yeah. We got Ant-Man and the Wasp here in another month.
Yeah.
It feels differently, because I feel like...
Well, because they're different stories.
I feel like we buy into these characters differently than we do to the Star Wars characters.
Oh, and it's different. It's different things being told. It's to me, it's just, it's not like we see Avengers Infinity War and then Ant-Man and the Wasp is a prequel from 1970. And they're like, hey, we're going to go all the way back to, you know, like, hey, remember Iron Man, the first one? We're going to go all the way back to 2008 and we're going to do that. You know, that's the difference to me here, is that it's not like we're in 2018 and Ant-Man and the Wasp takes place in 2008.
Yep.
It takes place in 2018, as far as we all know. So, I mean, that's, you know, and they brought it up in Avengers Infinity War that Scott Lang, who plays the Ant-Man, has decided to distance himself from the team or whatever, and he's kind of doing his own thing, and he's low-key, and Hawkeye is low-key too. So, and low-key is dead. So, you know, it's one of those things where we're in the place that we're in right now in present time. Now, Captain Marvel's going to Tarantino us a little bit, but, you know, she also, but we're going to see her and get her story, and it's going to connect everything. We see Avengers Infinity War. At the end, we have Nick Fury call on a pager for Captain Marvel. The next movie, or the movie before Avengers 4, is going to be Captain Marvel in March. So he calls her. We're like, how do they know each other? We get that whole backstory of how they met and who she is. And then, bang, 2 months later, she's coming to the fight. So that makes sense.
Right.
But with Han Solo already dead in current Star Wars lore, we're going back in time to see him at a younger age, and it's, and for all of us that miss Harrison Ford, you're getting the character, but you're not even getting Harrison Ford again.
Right.
So
right.
it's just not the same. It's like, who's Captain Marvel? Oh, we'll tell you in a couple months. We know who Han Solo is, and now we get a younger version of him. We miss Harrison Ford. It's not Harrison Ford. It's got nothing to do with his son. So, you know, it's just, you know, and Princess Leia is not going to be, you know, it's not going to be Carrie Fisher.
Here's the one thing I just want to add to that, because we are kind of ranting a little bit about, you know, like Solo and the comparison between, forgive me, is it, who's the new actor here that played played Solo? Elden? Is it Elden?
Elden.
Aaron
Reich?
Yeah, well.
Pardon me on that.
Comparing him to Harrison Ford, I'm not going to say there's no comparison. What I'm trying to say is, even though we're ranting, I don't want to make it sound like Solo was an awful movie.
No, but
I thoroughly enjoyed the movie.
Right, and I'm not saying, and I don't think we're ranting. I look at this and I say, we're not going back in time to meet Captain Marvel, and she's a different actress,
right,
who's not going to be the actress that we're going to see, and this movie's here, and that movie's 10 years ago, but what about this character? It's like, we've known Han Solo forever and a day since the first ever Star Wars episode for A New Hope, and now you're telling us, hey, because there's a year in between this and going back to the present, we're going to go all the way back to episode 4 and then go back before that,
yep,
show you this guy. He's not going to be Harrison Ford. Then we're going to go all the way to episode 9, which has nothing to do with this. It just seems like overkill.
It certainly
is. And
I'm
not going to say it's not a good movie, and if Darth Maul's in there, I'm going to have a party. I'm saying that the formula is not the same as Marvel when people say that they're getting overly exposed to the gamma radiation that is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's not the same as what they're doing with Star Wars.
Yes.
Star Wars are jumping all over the... It's like having The Walking Dead and showing us Rick when Rick was a kid and then going to Michonne and this and that and the other thing and then all coming back to this one thing. And then once we come back to the present, we go 10 years back. Then we go 5 years in the future. Then we go 15 years back. Then we go back to the present.
It's
too much.
And you hit the nail right on the head there. And Star Wars has, over episodes 4 through 6, and then coming back in the 90s and early 2000s doing episodes 1 through 3,
yeah,
they had a formula that was working. Even though people may not necessarily have loved episode 1, 2, and 3, I didn't mind them.
But people also didn't like it because the first three came out, which were 1, 2, and 3, to my dad,
yeah,
my mom, and then, you know, they were 1, 2, and 3. And then... They
became
came out
4,
and said,
5, and 6.
And they were like, oh, no. The first trilogy is 4, 5, and 6. The second trilogy is 1 through 3, which is like, on a very smaller scale, what they do with Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park 1 was followed by Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World. And Jurassic Park 3, they're like, no. Jurassic Park 3 takes place between 1 and 2. And then you're like,
confuses
you
everybody.
Don't say 1, 3, 2.
Yeah.
So when you tell people and you go, oh, well, you know, the original Star Wars trilogy, they're like 1 through 3. I'm like, no, 5, 4 through 6.
Yep.
That's the original.
Right.
And to tell everybody this is 1 through 3 and years later tell them those are 4, 5, and 6. This is 1 through 3. Now we're back to 7. Now we're going here. So now we're doing 7, 8, and 9. Oh, okay. So we finally caught up. Yeah. But we're going to go back and do Rogue One. It's just confusing the heck out of people.
Right. Right.
It's just a lot.
Well,
I'm not going to say they're not good movies. I'm just saying it seems like they're pulling at any string they can, and I don't know how you do, and this is no offense to anybody in this movie, I am very sad that Harrison Ford is no longer in the Star Wars universe. I miss him as Han Solo. This movie is not going to... It's not going to give me Harrison Ford. It's like doing Indiana Jones without Harrison Ford. It's not the same. You can say that it's this, that, and the other, but when Robert Downey Jr. isn't Iron Man anymore, I'm not going to like it as much.
Right.
I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I'm not going to say I wish bad on the actor, but if somebody said to me, you want to play Iron Man? I was like, no, let me play somebody new.
Yep.
Let me play somebody that the franchise didn't work or you never tried it. Preferably, you never tried it before. Secondly, it didn't work. I don't want to touch Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
Right.
I don't want to mess with that.
Right.
You know?
Well, so, it's like what we got with Superman today. Like everybody, and Batman, and anybody that's
no
been
one will
rehashed.
Be Christopher Reeve. No one will be Christopher Reeve.
Yep.
Ever. And it, you know, and I don't think people are doing a bad job. I think Brandon Routh's face looked spot on to Christopher Reeve.
Right.
But outside of that, you know, with Henry Cavill now, everybody's focusing on, oh, they had to Photoshop his mustache. Like, if you're focusing on a Photoshop mustache in this movie, you have way too much time in your life. And you are that Twitter troll that people step on.
Right.
You are the Twitter troll that should never come out of your cave, because when you do, we will be waiting with pitchforks and torches.
Yep.
Like, what, like, I can understand people saying he's not Christopher Reeves, but Henry Cavill does not do a bad job. DC does a bad job.
Right.
But he is a good Superman.
I thought he was really well cast, and I think he's done a great job in everything that's been out. It's just, it's the stories. It's the way it's presented. I mean, that's not his fault.
No.
It's not his fault at all. But
he's not the writer. He's just in the suit.
I think, you know, you and I, we have our opinions of these movies and everything.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, everybody needs to just like what they like. And I think one of the best things that you and I do is, short of the trailers, we stay away from all the internet, like, comments and all everything people are talking about leading up to the film. We try to draw our own conclusions and go and see a movie based on what, you know, we know of these characters and these franchises without letting negativity in the internet, which just seems like a big cesspool these days.
Yeah, I mean,
we're
trying to clean up the cesspool.
Yeah, tear us down and not enjoy these films for what they are. Yeah,
like, we want to be the source that you go to that welcomes you if you disagree with us wholeheartedly. And I said Twitter troll for the people that are negative and hateful no matter what. That is a disgusting human being. But in no way do I want you to get that twisted with if you totally disagree with us on Star Wars and you don't think it's overkill. We welcome those those comments and those thoughts because they're your thoughts and they matter to you and they're important. I've asked for two things in 15 years as a broadcaster, and I will always ask for the same two things. Justify your opinion and be respectful.
Yep.
If you can be a good-hearted, kind person that wants to have an open discussion where you disagree with me or Eric or both or whatever, or we disagree with you, we will have that conversation with you if you justify your opinion and you're respectful.
And look,
that's how it
is. If Deadpool and Cable can conversate and come to an agreement about where they're going to go,
yeah,
then the rest of this reality, this world that you guys live in, you can do it too.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that I know we are. You know, Super Powered Pop is a place for every kid and every kid inside of you, no matter how old you are, to feel safe, feel welcome, and feel good. Because we didn't have a show like this growing up, hence why we created it. And we want you to feel like you have a place to have a voice and to have some fun. And, you know, with that being said, the CNY Pop Festival is supposed to be that for people. So, CNYPopFestival.com. It is for, you know, when I grew up, there was jocks and there was nerds. And I could have been a jock because I played basketball. I could have been a nerd because I had a 98 average. So, I'm doing a show now saying, there's no such thing as jocks and nerds. You're just people. And I love you all the same. So, we're bringing Syracuse basketball players, Syracuse football players, and people from The Flash, Star Wars, Adam's Family, to Power Rangers and so on and so forth, all together under one roof. We have more than a baker's dozen of guests. We have a great stage for panel discussions. We have food trucks. We have cosplay events for you to dress up like your favorite sports figure. We have cosplay events to dress up like your favorite villain or hero or anti-hero. We have phenomenal businesses that are going to be involved, and you can get your tickets at cnypopfestival.com. The one place I can promise you welcomes and accepts you just the way you are.
It's going to be a great event, and I can't wait. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm happy to be involved with it.
Well, and we appreciate that the Ghostbusters will be protecting us for that whole day.
They'll do their best. Can't promise anything. Can't promise anything.
They will be fine. I got we trapped a ghost before the show, so I already feel safe here in the studio because one of the best Ghostbusters is sitting to my left. With that being said, we're going to take a step aside for breaking news once again and a special word from the fourth.
I found the time stone. We're going to have to go back in time and talk about something here.
What? What are we doing?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think I know what you mean. Do I know what you mean? Did you tell me
let's
in the future?
Let's take the time stone and go back on our Disney vacation.
Oh, I get to have a time stone to go back on a Disney vacation. I would go back a day after I got, not even a day after I got back. So we're going to go to breaking news. And then as Eric said, because we found the time stone, we get to go back in time to that time where we went on the Star Wars virtual reality experience brought to you by The Void. And we will be describing that to you very soon. Our past selves will tell the present you how great life is at Star Wars virtual reality at Disney Springs.
Welcome back to another edition of Breaking News! We interrupt this broadcast of Super Powered Pop with DT and EB because we've got the Hulk to come back by leaving him little pieces of chocolate chip muffins back to the studio.
Why you trick me? Why you bring me back here? You give me chocolate chip muffin. You know I love muffin. Nom, nom. Very good. But you take me, I thought I follow the muffin. I figure after I follow muffin all the way to the end, I find giant muffin. You know, something Hulk size to eat.
Well, Hulk, we had to do something to bring you back in the studio to ask you about Deadpool.
Well, you want me to tell you about Deadpool, okay? He dead? And pool, I don't get what part of that it is. He doesn't have water power. Okay, can't make pools. That would be fun. Make a pool for Hulk. So Hulk sit with Muffin in pool and have good time on float.
Hulk, you're missing the point here. Do you like that Deadpool could be coming back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
When you talk about cinema, universe, all that fun stuff, I don't know. All I know is I get paycheck. They tell me, Mark Ruffalo, come into building and stay for 5 hours. We give you 80% of income. I say thank you. Okay, more muffin, by the way, since I stuck here.
All right, well, that's all we're going to get from the Hulk this time around. Now back to you guys, DT and EB, in the studios of Super Powered Pop.
Welcome here to Super Powered Pop with DT and
EB.
Hanging out with you from Walt Disney World. We're actually at the Yacht and Beach Club, and I got to do a first with Eric. I got to go on the ship's slide, which is pretty sweet.
Well, there was a number of firsts today that we got to experience. Should we just kind of jump into them and then go into our evening?
Yeah, I mean, the first for the both of us is the first time that I was on the slide at the Yacht and Beach Club, not Eric's first, but we got to experience something for the first time. A lot of people are experiencing for the first time because it just opened recently, which is The Void, which is a Star Wars experience. And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't want anybody to tell me anything about it. The only thing I knew was that you're a stormtrooper, but we got to find out that we're actually rebels inside of the stormtrooper costume. So that made me happy. And what ensued from there was kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing, and it's a lot of fun. Today's been great. You know, it's just been a day of first, and we've got an, you know, between the Void experience that we just went through, between your experience now with the yacht club pool slide area here, and then we've got my first experience going to Ohana tonight,
and your wife,
and my wife, and my son, and then hopefully my wife gets to experience for the first time, should she decide to go through with it, Flight of Passage. So.
Oh, she's definitely doing it. Yeah, there's no choice.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I told Tara that she'll live through it. I did. Yeah. So, and so did you.
Yes.
So
it's okay. A fantastic ride. So this, I can't wait to go on that for the second time. It's second, or actually, this might be my third time, but regardless.
There should be like a rule, ride. Though, like if you pay for the void one time, you can go back within your vacation, because I want to go back tomorrow.
Yeah. That would be amazing if you can go again. I got to admit, that was hands down probably one of the most entertaining, interactive experiences that I've ever experienced. I mean, it was just phenomenal, the whole way it was set up.
I legitimately thought at one point of the ride, and I don't want to give away a lot to people. I want you to experience it. There's one part where you're on a platform that moves, and it's one of the very few times in my life where I thought, oh my God, what if my legs give out and I fall off this thing?
Yeah.
Because you don't really know what's happening because you're in virtual reality, but you are literally moving.
Yeah, it's wild. It's got to be one of the craziest things, because you almost feel like you don't have any control of the situation when you're in there. But,
and I now know what hot lava feels like.
You do and you don't. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing how this one particular scene in the VR, you literally are on this platform. And without giving you the premise of the experience, which I feel like we're going to have a lot of spoilers in this, you know, just it's hard to really talk about.
Think about if Star Wars met a volcano.
Yeah, that's yeah. It. So basically, what's the level they were, or level, the scene that they were in, it was at the end of...
Rogue One, connected to Rogue One.
Well, Rogue One it was connected to, but it felt like the where Anakin and Obi-Wan had their death match there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It felt very similar to
Episode 3.
Yeah, in Episode 3, I can't remember the name of the planet. Mustafar, I believe. Was it Mustafar?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was Mustafar. Correct me, Star Wars fans, if I'm wrong. But nonetheless, it was amazing.
It looks like Mustafa with an R.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, it was just mind-blowing, the heat and the light smell of, like, the ash and the
thought that my legs can't hold my body up.
Yeah, and it literally it was nerve-wracking. There's nothing to hold on to, and it literally felt like the floor was moving, and it was just crazy. Because, I mean, I don't know. I felt like if I had stepped off that ledge, I felt like I was going to fall into lava.
Well, that's the thing, is they tell you to blend in as a stormtrooper, and I was like...
Dan blended in really well.
I did a horrible...
He'll explain it in a second.
It was very funny. But no, we were on the platform, and they're like, blend in. I was like, stormtroopers, like, never move. And I was like, what if I just slip a little bit here?
Dude, it was insane. I was seriously really mind-boggled that when they told us to blend in, Dan did completely the opposite. And would you like to explain what you did, or should I get into it?
No, it wasn't on purpose.
I sure it wasn't.
It wasn't on purpose.
You're like, oh, what's this trigger do on this blaster here?
Here's my thing, though. As a rebel, you know, I thought they're either going to find me out or later, potentially, so why not just kill them all now? But, no, So Eric and I went into this room, and there were guns, and I reached out, and I was like, wow, because it's all interactive. Like, you see the gun in virtual reality, and then you actually go to touch it on what you're looking through in your goggles, and you can pick up this gun, and it is a gun. And I just wanted to make sure that the laser worked, and so I was interested to know. So Eric and I were in a room.
He got trigger happy.
Yeah, one door was open, one door was shut. We were in a room. I thought we were alone. I thought it was an intimate setting. And I thought it was a Lady in the Tramp moment, maybe. And
yikes.
And I fired
the laser.
And then I punched him in the face because he got a little too close to me.
It's all good.
We're not violent. We're kidding.
No, and I've never really had any issue in my life with firing too early until today.
Yikes. All right, keep that to yourself and Kate.
So, yeah, it was a really good time. But no, we picked up the guns and... And I just wanted to make sure that it worked.
It
I
was
to
make weird. Sure I had my, it was.
You want to make sure you have your finger on the right button.
I get it.
So that
I get
when
it.
People actually came after he us, was, I didn't like he was, the wrong
he,
one.
He claims to be troubleshooting his blaster.
I was troubleshooting my blaster.
That's what she said.
And as soon as I hit it, it was a good time. But as soon as I did that, I fired it, and you actually see it hit the wall and like. It starts to spark on the wall, and there's like a little like singe on the wall. And as soon as it happened, you hear this siren, and you hear this you see all these red lights, and immediately they're firing at us. And in my earpiece, they said you were supposed to blend in. What are you doing?
And mind you, I'm sitting there going, great, you get to be, you're that guy. We got to deal with you.
It was 2 minutes into the ride. And I didn't, I mean, I guess I don't know what the ride would have looked like if we had blended in, but I will say that I tried to walk like a stormtrooper in the beginning.
Yeah, his little dance and jig that he did was definitely very incognito as well.
Yeah, I think stormtroopers are supposed to get down a little bit.
That's okay. I got funky in there too, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, we did. Eric and I, the entire time that we were going through the elevator part of it, we started dancing and breaking it down. And I thought to myself, could anybody see this? And we found out later on that there are people watching us.
Yeah, there's a whole production crew in there that makes sure that if anything goes awry, you're safe and not going to hurt yourself, which me and Dan were very concerned at points we were going to run into walls. But actually, it was amazing. I mean, the VR was very active or accurate in every location and setting you're in, the way everything transitioned, the environments. If you reached out and there was a wall panel there that you had to push a button on, there was a wall panel in the visual VR experience itself that mirrored almost identically what you were feeling in reality.
Yeah, and so, I 100% hit a button on the elevator that made a noise, but it didn't do anything.
Yeah, well, you know, just shoot the button. You know, shoot the button if it doesn't work, right? Like, yeah, just exactly. Like Han Solo.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, our experience may have forever be changed because I wanted to make sure the laser worked.
Yeah, I almost feel like that it might have shortened our experience in this particular attraction because it just went straight into battle.
Well, everybody should know that if you fire off early, it's always longer the next time.
Yep, that's we're going the wrong direction with this show, but for the purpose of this conversation, we'll take that literally, Dan.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. It was pretty crazy. I will say that we have to work on Eric's protective skills and reaction to open fire.
Well, you know, I was standing up. You know, I didn't get the impression that crouching and ducking was something that the production crew was cool with. But Dan decided he was going to start doing like barrel rolls and rolling down hallways and sticking a gun out at one doorway while pressing the buttons on a control pad.
I was with my left hand hitting the panel while I was covering Eric and shooting the gun out the other doorway.
And I'm just standing taking fire, like straight up cannon fodder, so Dan didn't get shot.
It was really funny because as soon as we started to get shot at when we went outside of this one part, Eric's standing on a balcony with one like little bar in front of him, and he's standing straight up just pointing to the people he wanted to shoot at, and I'm crouched behind this thing. I could feel it. I could see it there, and I'm putting my gun over it, and when they're shooting and the fire's coming in hot, I poke my head up. They start firing the lasers, so I'm just like reaching over, and I'm shooting, and I'm getting them. I'm looking when I can. I'm going around the corner. I'm firing in like little crevices, so I'm essentially protecting my body while I'm trying to fire and shoot things off, whereas Eric was shooting in the wide open with absolutely no cover whatsoever. And he said, get my six. And I was like, well, the entire clock is wide open at this point.
Well, I can tell you the God honest truth, what I was doing in there, I was testing a theory. You want to know what that theory was?
Will you die?
No.
Okay.
I was testing the theory of how bad a stormtrooper's aim is.
And I love how when you were shooting, you were just like, and they were hitting you, you're like, ah, it burns.
Yes, it doesn't burn.
Can I tell you the one thing that like freaks me out the most is the robot in the beginning? When he opens the door, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
because they don't. Because like they say that some of those are actual people on the ride in production, so I didn't know if that, like, if I reached out, if I was going to, like, hit somebody's head.
Well, here's what we'll tell you, people. We, unfortunately, didn't get any pictures or any videos of us actually in the experience because they do not let you bring phones or anything, camera related into the experience. Obviously, for one, you can't take pictures of yourself when you're in the VR, but for
Vader
two,
I was coming after your punk ass.
Yeah Dan was
I
ready.
Had a moment with Vader.
Dan was eye to eye, toe to toe with Vader, and then thankfully well, we won't give it away. If you want to experience there it to see go. What Vader does, you can go check it out. But highly
he cheated.
Okay,
he cheated.
He may have cheated, but to the point, we highly suggest if you ever get the opportunity to come down to Orlando and check out Disney Springs, going to the Void and checking out the Star Wars Secrets
right
of the Empire
right by Once
experience.
Upon a Toy. Yes. Hard to believe it used to, this part where the Void is the other three rooms that used to be in the store Once Upon a Toy. But Once Upon a Toy stepped their game up on their gift stuff, and so the store is nice again. and the Void is also there, and it's a lot of fun, and it's right across from one of the greatest places ever created known to man, Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah, I'll have to try that out. I'm still convinced that Wolfgang Puck is the place to be for quick serve there.
Any pizza that has goat cheese on it is a cardinal sin, and it's blasphemy.
Well, you know, I don't get the pizza with goat cheese. They have fantastic salads, and they have an awesome barbecue chicken pizza.
Don't tell me that you go to Wolfgang Puck and get a salad.
I do.
No, you don't.
On occasion.
On occasion. That means once out of every five times.
Once a year, because I come to Disney once a year.
It's all good. No, the Void is a lot of fun, and we gave it a 10 out of 10. The only, they said, would you change anything? And Eric and I did, you know, we didn't look at our balloting, so to speak, and I feel like if the country did that, that would have been great. If nobody said who they voted for, that probably would have been wonderful. But we didn't look at each other's thing, and I said, what did you say? And Eric's like, what did you say? And we were talking about it, and the only thing that we said was it was too short, because in any phenomenal experience, the only qualms you ever have with it is, can you make it longer?
Yeah.
And if it's 30 minutes, it's like, it should have been 35. You know? I mean, Flight of Passage for Avatar, I'm like, the ride's phenomenal. What would you change about it? Keep me in there for another 20 minutes.
Yeah. You know, well, obviously, I think that's unrealistic given the fact that it's a almost a 2 to 3 hour wait at times for Flight of Passage. But hey, when Toy Story Land opens, that'll get minimized, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's just like anything, it goes through waves. You know? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think realistically, if they were to add another 2 to 3 minutes of Flight of Passage, then it would be worth the 2 hour wait. But
yeah, anything over 2 hours for Flight of Passage is excessive.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal thing, and if you're coming once a year, or if you're coming down and you don't know when the heck you're going to be back and you've been saving for years, I would tell you wait in line. But I feel really bad when people have to wait 3 hours for a ride. It's a phenomenal ride. There's absolutely nothing like it. But, you know, with the Void even, I mean, we went first thing in the morning and we walked right in. We didn't have to wait. And you put on these like huge packs, and you like, it's so cool. It makes you feel like a friggin' hero, because you're in this thing, and it's almost like you're on the Avengers plane, the way it feels, where it's like all your stuff is suspended in the air. You put the jacket on, you buckle it up, they detach the jacket, you put on the goggles, you put on the big headgear, and it's, and I can hear Eric and he can hear me, and we can hear production. And I mean, in all honesty, folks, if I worked there, I'd probably be on it like every day.
Yeah, no, definitely. I would hands down suggest you go and check it out. Great experience. One of the best experiences I think I've ever had down in Walt Disney World. Ranks up there, probably right in the top five all-time experiences for an interactive thing. But here's the thing. Disney doesn't own it. It's not a Disney-owned property. It just happens to be on Disney property. So.
Yeah, because they have, as Eric's talked about before, they have Ghostbusters in New York City, and they said that they're building like two or three other experiences coming up and trying to build some stuff in Orlando and whatnot. So, I mean, this can be a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I would like to see if they do a Walking Dead one, you know, something with Avengers would be phenomenal.
Well, you know, here's the one thing that I'll kind of leave everybody on, and if you're concerned about going on it, for me, I thought it was phenomenal in the context of it didn't make me sick. It felt very normal. It was very natural going into the VR. I don't feel like it set me off in any way.
You get comfortable as you go.
Yeah, and as you're going into it, it becomes more and more, you acclimate more to the VR experience itself. But
yeah, I think like motion sickness and all that, I mean, I think, you know, it's like putting the pack on, and I was thinking, is it going to be heavy once they drop it off the hook? But it just, like, felt right.
Probably weighed maybe 25 pounds.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, like, it just felt good. It was interesting. I was nervous how I was going to react. I'm thinking, am I going to freak out? Am I going to get, like, scared that people are shooting at me? And ultimately, my instincts kicked in, and all my movie and Law and Order and TV show watching kicked in, and I got the barricade up around me. I'm shooting. I know where to. I'm firing the gun around the corner. I'm firing it up above my head. I'm shooting in the cracks. I'm trying to guard Eric. So it's like it's nice to know that in crisis mode, there was a better version of me than I thought was going to show up. So that was pretty cool.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to. This is going to probably grow throughout the years. I think it goes without saying that it's a technology that they're going to continue to build on, because it's a phenomenal experience.
And I'd love to be put in a tire so that I could be BB-8.
But literally, it had a Ready Player One feel to it. I think the next steps you're going to see with this type of an experience is going to be a multiplayer experience.
Yeah, I mean, you're walking through this entire thing. You're not standing. I mean, it's one thing to have virtual reality. It's one thing to put you in a simulator. This is virtual reality. You're walking through. The environment is realistic. You can pick things up. You can touch things. You can interact with things. And it's a it, and how you react and what you do in certain situations can change the game. We talked to some production people after, and they told us that, like, your reaction and how you go about things can change things up and make it different. And so it's not the same every time. It's who you have and the decisions you make. And our claim to fame, one of the greatest things and something that, you know, I appreciate in my life, 32 years, and you go on this ride, you go on the Void. And as the one guy's talking with us, and I thought he was going to ask me, like, why did you fire the laser so quick? This other guy in production walks by, and it looked like a guy who was, like, you know, like, grizzled. He had been in production a while. Looks like he knows what he's talking about. He walked by us. He looked at us. He goes, you guys were hilarious in there. And I was like, well, my life is set. Like, that's like, if that's an, that's like, to me, if I have the Infinity Gauntlet, I just put a stone in the gauntlet.
Well, they don't track scores in this experience, but I can tell you right now, if they did, that comment would have trumped any score we got.
Yeah, when you say you guys were hilarious in there, it's, we helped production to have fun and laugh today, and I'm pretty sure there was an FU Vader from me in there.
Oh, yeah, there absolutely was.
But it was a lot of fun. It was a great experience. We had a good time.
Yeah, good stuff, man. So anything else going on today, or what do you want
to
do here?
I mean, I'm looking forward to going to Animal Kingdom. I'm wearing my Wakanda shirt and my Jaguars hat. I'm trying to summon the Black Panther from places unknown. But I love
Pandora.
I love Animal Kingdom, and I love Avatar, and we're going to Ohana, but Saltuli Canteen will hopefully be open late so that I can get my grub on, because I love that place.
I can't wait, and that's going to be another one of my firsts, the Saltuli Canteen, even though last time I got to do Flight of Passage, unfortunately didn't get to stop in there, so I can't wait. I'm looking forward to doing that. So.
And shout out to my Banshee that's at home right now that's not on my shoulder.
And shout out to all of our friends, family, and listeners that continue to listen to the show, and we appreciate all the support, and thanks for joining us on this special episode, this brief episode of Superpowered Pop.
Yeah, and I mean, a brief episode, but one of our best ones, describing and giving you what we took from the Void and coming out of there as the group of guys that were hilarious. Is there's nothing better than that.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Dan, I'm from the Yacht Club here in Disney World. I guess we're signing out.
Yeah, we are signing out straight off the slide and out of the sand. We are here with Superpowered Pop with DT and
EB.
Always with you on superpoweredpop.com, superpoweredpop.podbean.com, on iTunes, and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @superpoweredpop.
Peace out, everybody.